comes from the epistle from Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from who you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Among the most important disciplines as a follower of Jesus Christ is to listen for our master's voice and obey God's commands. But you know probably as well as I know that sometimes we listen to other voices, do we not? What could be called the call of the wild, the call of all the external forces in our lives. And so it takes a lot of work for us to know God's voice in our lives. In John 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, and he says, the sheep, what? Know my voice. They know his voice. Now, I'm assuming that every single one of you has at least one person in your life that you would know that voice anywhere. Is that true? Can you think about who that person is? When you hear them, whether you're expecting them to be around, whether you see them or not, you know who they are. And that is the kind of relationship that Jesus wants us to have with him. That when we hear his voice, we know without a doubt that it is Jesus talking to us. And we hear this voice in many different ways in our lives. We hear it through revelation. And lots of folks talk about different kinds of revelation in our lives when God's voice appears to us. And so there's two different kinds. There's natural revelation and there's special revelation. And natural revelation is what we learn from God from observing this world that God has made. And you heard that today in Psalm 19, didn't you? The psalmist talked about the heavens, right? It says the heavens are telling the glory of God. And the firmament, the earth, proclaims God's handiwork. And day and night show us and teach us about who God is. And it says there is no speech, nor are there words, but their voice is heard. And all of us have had that experience, haven't we? When we go out, when we are someplace beautiful, and we are in awe, and we know that God, the Creator, is good and incredible because what is around us is good and beautiful and incredible. And so that is natural revelation. We find natural revelation in the arts. How many of you have ever seen a good movie and thought, man, there was some Jesus in that? Or a painting, or a piece of music. We have natural revelation through our life experiences and through people in our lives who say things to us and we think, how did they know that about me? How did they know that God needed me to hear that today? And then sometimes we depend on our conscience and our intuition and our reason, just our brains working the way that they should to tell us that doesn't seem like a good idea right now. Or that hint when you feel God saying, maybe you should do this. The problem with natural revelation is sometimes we can misinterpret it. Sometimes somebody says something to us and we take it the exact opposite way. And so God has also provided other ways for us to know who God is through special revelation. Special revelation. And there are particularly two ways that God reveals God's self to us in special ways. And one of those is through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, it says this, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you." And in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. So when the Spirit speaks to us, we have to be paying attention. Because in the Bible, it says sometimes the Spirit doesn't speak in the ways that we expect. You remember the story of Elijah. Elijah's out on the mountain, and God wasn't in all the big stuff. God wasn't in the earthquake or the fire or the wind. God was in the silence. And so, much like Elijah, we have to stop and pay attention in order to listen to the Holy Spirit. And the second wonderful way we have of God revealing God's self to us is through the Bible, through Scripture. But incredibly, even though that's such an important part of being a Christian, turns out Christians don't really read their Bible all that much. Only 35% of Christians read their Bible weekly. Not even daily, weekly. But we know that Jesus not only read Scripture, Jesus memorized it, Jesus prayed it, and Jesus lived it. And if our call is to become like Jesus, we know that one of the things we are required to do, that we need to be doing in our lives, is reading Scripture, memorizing Scripture, praying Scripture, and living Scripture. Okay, now I know not all of you have a Bible with you today, but if you do, I'm going to ask you to pull it out. And there's a bunch in all the pews, so you can pull it out too. We're going to do a little activity. I got mine here too. My little one that people give me a hard time with because it's so tiny, but I love it. This collection of writings that are diverse were composed over approximately 1,400 years. Wasn't written in one sitting. Took 1,400 years to put this book together. So I want you to turn to Matthew. Matthew is the beginning of the New Testament. Some of y'all know this. But what did I say last week? I said sometimes we need to be reminded, right? Sometimes we just need to be reminded. If you turn to Matthew, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. So everything on this side of Matthew is the Hebrew Bible. So we call it the Old Testament. We can also call it the Hebrew Bible. This is the scriptures that Jesus had. These are the only scriptures Paul and the disciples had. This was it, right here. When the New Testament talks about scripture, guess what it's talking about? These scriptures, the Hebrew Bible. And it is the story of Israel and Israel's relationship with God. And it was written from around 1400 to 150 BC. And it includes so many different things. It includes short stories. It includes epic battles. It includes court histories and poetry and songs and prayers and wise sayings. And it includes social and religious criticism by the prophets and challenges from them. It is the story of Israel and Israel's relationship with God. And then in the New Testament, which you can tell, right, if you look, it's significantly smaller than your Hebrew Bible and scriptures. The New Testament is the story of Jesus, God's Son, the long-awaited Messiah. And so we have four Gospels. Gospel meaning good news, four accounts of the good news of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we have epistles, which are letters, letters that were written. And you can't count on the order to tell you what date they were written, right? Because all the epistles, which are in the back, were written, almost every single one of them were written before the Gospels. And the epistles, these letters, are theological and pastoral reflection of the earliest Christians. They're trying to figure out how to do life, how to be a follower of Jesus in the wake of his death and resurrection, and trying to teach these people how to live together. And Jesus used these scriptures. But Jesus also challenged them sometime. Jesus said that the most important thing we can remember is that we are to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus interpreted every single part of the Hebrew scriptures through those lenses. And so when we read this, sometimes, I know you have heard this, you have heard it called, that for the Ackerman, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Have you heard it? But there's not much that's basic about this book. It is complex. And so what it takes of us is it takes our time and our energy and our attention when we study it, and when we listen for what God has to say to us through it. So, how often and how much of the Bible should you be reading? That's a good question, isn't it? And it's different from everybody, but here's what I'm going to tell you today. Daily. Daily, you should be picking up your Bible and reading through it. And here's the next thing. I want you to read a doable amount. Okay? So, this is what happens when lots of people make these decisions to read the Bible, and they say, I'm going to read the whole book of Genesis in a week. And you know what happens? You're like, I don't want to do that anymore. Because it's not a doable amount, particularly if you're starting out. Now, some folks who have read the Bible over and over and who have time can do that. They can sit down. And so for you, you need to find out what's the amount that you're going to do. What is the amount you can commit to and stick to it? A daily and doable amount. And so last week, we talked about our five fingers, right? That we were going to read, pray five times a day. But this week, I want you to at least read five verses. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Five verses. At the very least, if you are beginning in this daily practice of reading scripture. And there are ways and different ways that we read scripture. So I want you to listen to these different ways and how you might read scripture, and maybe you can incorporate all of them into your life. The first is to read for understanding. Sometimes we just have to know the information. So if you're reading a gospel, you are reading so that you understand who Jesus is and what he did and how all the stories. You just want to understand. And when we do that, it's good to have something with us to help us, you know, like a study Bible that helps us to understand the context. The next thing we can do is we can read for formation. Something that forms us spiritually, that helps us to grow in our faith. And so when we read for formation, we may be reading, let's say, the Beatitudes. It said, blessed are the poor. If you're reading that for understanding, you think, what did Jesus mean by blessed are the poor? But when you're reading it for formation, you're saying, what does that mean for my life and how I follow Jesus? The other thing that Jesus did and that we can do is we can pray the scriptures. So for instance, singing today, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That is a prayer. Going to some of that, those psalms, the psalms are are the prayer book of the Bible. And praying those. And there are psalms to suit everything that you're going through, at least emotionally. If you're angry, there are psalms for that. If you are happy and excited, there are psalms for that. If you are sad, there are psalms for that. So the psalms can be the place that you go when you don't have your own words. And you can pray those psalms that have been prayed by people who have been faithful to God for centuries, for millennia. You can pray those prayers. And you can also study with others. My favorite time of the whole week are the two Bible studies we do at Cokesbury. I love being in Bible study on Monday night and on Wednesday mornings. And I invite you, even if you can't come to those times, to find a group that you can study the Bible with. Because it doesn't matter how many times I have read a certain scripture. When I study the Bible with someone else, I learn something new. It's just the way it is. I learn something new because of what somebody else says, because of the way the Spirit is talking to another person. In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And as we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and lived among us. And so we are to take that same instruction and be with others, just the way Jesus was with us. And so this book isn't something you just do by yourself. It's something you do with other people. I invite you this week, if you're not already in the practice of daily reading your Bible, to pick it up and read 5 verses. And don't start necessarily, you don't have to start in Genesis. I'm looking at John Colley. Where'd you start when you started reading the Bible, John? But he read it, but when he restarted, he started in the Gospels, right? He started in the Gospels. So that's a good place to start. Those good stories to learn about Jesus. You don't have to do it Genesis to Revelation. Start somewhere where you know it's a daily and a doable amount. That is your challenge for this week in order for you to begin again at the beginning of 2020. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for being here with us in worship this day and guiding us. We thank you for your word, for your Son, Jesus Christ, flesh among us, and for this collection of writings and scriptures that are holy, because they are inspired by you. Allow us to understand you better because of them, to be formed by them. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.